Before I read the second and third scriptures, I want to say one more comment about preaching to the empty pews. I mentioned a few weeks ago that I pretty much started my ministry in this way, back in a little town called Coweta, Oklahoma, which is kind of a suburb of Tulsa, when I was a college student 53 years ago. And Big Sunday was 5, which is what we have here today. But Jane and I just started dating, and I would take her with me to go hear me preach. It was a cheap date, and it always was kind of fun. And so that we kind of end the way we started, Jane is actually sitting behind the camera up there, waving. And back in the day, she had all these little signals. If she couldn't hear me, she did this. And if she wasn't so sure about what I was saying, she'd do that. Or I'd get this. In fact, I'm starting to get it right now. And it's like, yep, and get on with the scripture is what I'm getting right now. So anyway, great to have you up there, Jane. The scriptures are ones I wanted to read for today, and normally we'd have the Old Testament read first, but I wanted to read this one. This is the passage that Eric Little, that famous Scottish Olympic runner, read that one Sunday morning in the pulpit of that Paris church in the movie Chariots of Fire. It's such a beautiful passage, and it's appropriate for us today. Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 28 through 31. Listen again now for the word of God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The second passage, or in this case the third for today, is Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, it comes at the end of that great litany of all the great cloud of witnesses, the great saints of the Bible and of the church that the author of Hebrews recounts in chapter 11. So it begins, this verse begins, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At his last news conference before leaving office, the former president, Dwight D. Eisenhower, said that he wished his successor Godspeed. What does it mean to wish someone Godspeed? Well, the word is simply a phrase. It's actually a contraction of the phrase, may God speed you on your way. Isn't it interesting that the former Supreme Allied Commander in Europe, the 34th President of these United States, would use this religious term as his last word in office? Instead of wishing his successor good luck or best wishes, or the more Irish, may the wind always be at your back and may you be in heaven a half hour before the devil knows you're dead, he said to him simply, Godspeed. Now, do you suppose the author of Hebrews had this little phrase in mind when he penned these two famous verses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us? If it is true, he does so in the context of some great athletic event where if you look closely enough, you'll catch a glimpse of an athlete lighting an eternal flame. Banners blowing in the wind and a great cheer going up from the crowd. For you see, The writer's inspiration here for these two great verses were the Grecian games of the times, and there were four varieties of Grecian games: the Pythian, the Isthmian, the Nemean, and the Olympic Games. But of these, the Olympic Games were the most famous and the most celebrated and the only ones that still exist today. At these games, athletes participated and competed in all kinds of events: boxing, wrestling, and the foot race. But the foot race was the most famous. The author of Hebrews no doubt has the foot race in mind from the Olympics when he writes these two famous verses: "Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." But exactly what kind of running do you think the author of Hebrews has in mind? This morning, I want to suggest three different kinds, three different forms of running that offer analogies for our Christian faith and our Christian church and our Christian life. And the first is the individual race, just you and the track, just you and the trail. It's the kind of running athletes do to prepare for the big race and the big meet. It's the kind of running a lot of people do these days, a lot of people jogging because it helps their mental and physical outlook on life. At least that's what I'm told by those who are converts. It used to be I could barely run around the block without getting bored or tired. I was never as bad off as Bruce Metzger, a former Greek scholar at Princeton, who, when he would get the urge to exercise, would lie down and wait for the urge to pass. Real runners will tell you, you got to stick with it every day or almost every day to really begin to see its benefits. And I say the same thing about the Christian life, about running the race every day, reading the Bible daily, praying daily, checking in with God, asking for God's guidance. All of this started with your baptism, of course. Baptism is the starting line. From that moment on, when your parents, if you were baptized as a child, when your parents held you up, for many it would be right here by the pulpit, and lifted you up as grace has lifted you up your whole life, from that moment, the race has been laid out before you. The Christian is not some hitchhiker loitering aimlessly along the byways of life. No, she is forever a pilgrim on a journey. And her goal is Jesus Christ. Of course, the thing that holds us back immediately is sin, isn't it? And the author of Hebrews realizes this immediately because he says, in essence, before you even start running, you need to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to you. Now, if you've watched athletes in different track and field events, they may come out and they have a sweatsuit on, but then they strip down as they get to the starting line to lightweight shirt, shorts, and shoes. For athletes, laying aside every weight may be getting rid of superfluous flesh. It may be toning the muscles to perfect for condition. But in life, it means letting go of whatever is holding you back from living a full and complete life in Jesus Christ. It may mean, for some, giving up a quick tongue or some personal habits or the inability to speak truth in love to a neighbor. Only you and God know your own sins. And what the author of Hebrews is saying, you need to lay them aside and let them go, so you can really run the race. Now, this doesn't mean you need to forgive yourself, because that's something we cannot do. You cannot forgive yourself. Only God can forgive you completely. You can do it partially, but God is the only one who can do it completely. So the first race is just the individual race, just you and the track, just you and the trail. The second race is the relay race, where more than one compete, and the goal is for the last person on the relay to cross the finish line ahead of any competition. Now, here, teamwork is more important than anything. Everything has to be just right. Sheer heart and sheer speed alone will not carry you to victory, but The important thing is when the baton is passed, everything has to be just right. Now, what the author of Hebrews is saying to us is, look, the baton has been passed to you by those who have gone before you. That great cloud of witnesses, in our case, it's Henry Edmonds and that little group of people who started this church over 100 years ago. This group of people that is compassed about us is cheering us on. And they understand that some of them never got to go into the promised land like Moses. Moses never got to do that. Some of us only run the second or the third leg of the relay race. And that's what Moses did. Not everybody gets to cross the finish line, and certainly Moses didn't either. But Moses passed his authority on to Joshua and to Joshua's people there with these words, I will not go on with you, but God does. And because of God's leading and God's presence, then I am very confident that God will be with you as you enter the promised land. Time and time I've seen it happen. Moses passes the baton to Joshua. Elijah passes it to Elisha. I've seen it throughout history. Jesus passed it to the disciples, and then through the apostolic succession, it has been passed to you and me. One of the most touching scenes I ever have experienced is to watch a young woman or a young man standing around in an old pastor's study as he passes on some of his own personal library. And with each book, there is a story and a smile. He even remembers when he bought it and maybe what he was thinking, but now he needs to pass it on to you, and he's not quite sure he's ready to give it up yet. And if you listen carefully, you will hear that there is a resolution, that he has not accomplished all he thought he would in ministry, and now he has come to the end of his life and the end of his ministry. But if you listen carefully, you will hear something else. Between the lines, you will hear an affirmation that it was an honor to stand in a pulpit like this and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that he was proud to be a servant as he passes the baton on to you. The second race is the relay race. But then there is the marathon, which takes us beyond the scene of the great stadium where hundreds of people gather at the starting line and then that head out into the world, out onto the road. And those out on the road are the cloud of witnesses who have run the race before, and they are cheering us on. They are with us as we run this race. That's an image for the church. It's where we are right now. We are out of this stadium we call this church building. We are out on the road, out in the world. I was talking to someone the other day about the fire that occurred in 1992 and how awful it was. It burned everything, I guess, except this particular space where we are. And he said, yes, we, hundreds of us, IPC members, stood out there on that parking lot across the street, and we were in tears. We were stunned to see our church being burnt down. And he said, then I looked around and I said, wait a minute, that's not the church. This is out here on the parking lot. Those of us gathered, we are the church out in the world, out on the road, cheering others on and helping others. I don't know how many times I have walked through the halls of Pittsburgh Seminary after a late night of work, and I've seen the paintings and the plaques of former professors and former presidents. And I've walked around churches and places where I've preached and seen the paintings or the pictures, the photographs of former pastors, and even the portraits here at IPC, and I realize that there is a story of discipleship. Behind every painting and every plaque. And if you look closely, you will know that every single one of them was pointing to Jesus, who is the pacemaker, the pioneer, and the perfecter of our faith, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who takes us from tape to tape, the one who started us off, and the one who finishes for us. It is finished, he said on the cross, that we might also cross the finish line ourselves. Is not this image of the marathon the correct one for the church? For only one will finish first, and that is Christ. Victory for the rest of us is simply to finish the race. And a camaraderie begins to develop, an esprit de corps, a bond that holds us together as we run this race. We are not on a bus or a plane or a train whizzing along at the same pace, but rather a great mass of God's people spread out for miles, moving along sluggishly, sometimes too fast for some, not fast enough for others, on a route designated by God's providence, running the race every single day with perseverance. And that's the only way we can run it. It's taken me a long time to understand this, that the Christian life can only be run one day at a time. There was a woman I knew in East Tennessee who understood. Her name was Margaret Stevenson. Margaret was amazing. She was a legend in the Smoky Mountains because she hiked 10 or 15 miles every day, even in her 70s and her 80s. And she had been all over. She knew every trail. She knew every turn in every trail. She knew every plant and tree by its Latin and colloquial name. And she took groups every day and loved on them. My first trip, Mount LeConte, was her 75th trip. A couple of years later, my second trip was her 125th trip. And then a couple of more years later, my third trip up Mount LeConte was her 500th trip. I don't know how many, 700 or 800 times she climbed it. She was a joy to hike with in those days. I remember one day we came across what she described as the most unrelenting two-mile ridge in the park. 2 miles up with no break, no up and down, just straight up. And I like to hike in spurts. And I said, okay, Margaret, I was much younger then. I said, I'll see you later. I'm going to run on up here. And she said, that's fine. And I took off running. At some point halfway up, I can't remember exactly, I found myself flat on my back in half delirium. A blurred Margaret passed at her steady pace. I could still hear the click, click of her cane as she passed, and all she said was, "One more mile to go, Bill. I'll see you at the top." And so she did, arriving well ahead of me without stopping once. Margaret understood what it meant to live the Christian life one day at a time. Not long after that, her husband finally died of cancer. But I want you to know, because of her daily walk with God, their last few moments were not spent in sadness or remorse, but in joy and celebration, because Margaret understood the meaning of Isaiah's words, as Eric Little said them when he read them in the pulpit of that Paris church. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Dearest beloved friends at IPC and around the country or wherever you are, just know that we are on a journey, a pilgrimage toward victory in Jesus Christ. With all my heart, I wish you Godspeed. To God be the glory from this day forth and forevermore. God bless you all.